Welcome back to the All Things Geekery podcast. I'm your host, Detached.
Hey guys, and I'm Victus. So as some of you have read, Google and Microsoft just announced their jump into the cloud gaming streaming world. And this podcast this week, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what's currently out there. And we're also going to talk about what our thoughts are. So to start off with Google's Project Stream, okay, and delving into some oddity here is that we're going to start playing a game in Google Chrome. Wow.
Yeah, that's just strange. When I saw that today, my mind really didn't even really know what I was looking at. It was weird watching your Chrome browser pull up and voila, there's a game.
Yeah, it's so surreal in that they announced that, not in an emulator, it's in Chrome. Like, what in the world? Right.
Yeah, it was very strange to see.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I fully processed what they're really doing right now.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts. And we'll wait to see what they have more of that. Of course, right now it's just kind of a test. We'll get into some of the details later in the podcast. But along with Google's Project Stream, is their code name, we have also from Microsoft's corner of the ring, Project xCloud.
Yeah, this was another interesting one. I think this one was a little easier to grasp what they're doing, but still, I don't know, the whole cloud gaming, you know, we got to see a little bit of it with Xbox and PlayStation and some of the other, you get to see a little bit with Steam. But what we're talking about here is kind of the next level, the next stage of really what cloud gaming is going to be turning this stuff into.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then that's why we, you know, our title of our podcast, Age of Game Streaming, you know, it's for one, what is game stream? What is cloud streaming?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, some of you, Detached, I know you played around with it. I've used it a little bit, you know. We had game stream with our Xboxes, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I've streamed, you know, pretty inconsistently over the last probably year ish or so. It's definitely something that I love to do, but again, comes down to those time constraints. And when I first started streaming, I really enjoyed getting out on Twitch and in kind of engulfing myself with everything that Twitch had to offer. There is a very extensive system that Twitch has put together for streamers. And I think, you know, personally for me, it's a little bit of a time crunch. So I ended up going with Mixer. I enjoy streaming on it. It's simplified. It's easier to use for me. And it doesn't take as much back-end work as Twitch. So that for me works. And I'm anxious to see, you know, the kind of next age of what comes with Mixer and Twitch. And you really starting to see some other rises of platforms that are doing game streaming now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, even that's a good thing that you started there is that Twitch had a... kind of wouldn't say the first, not first, but one, a little four-way in the game streaming where they had the users, the watchers play games. They would type commands into the stream and it would play a game for them. And that was an interesting way that Twitch did that. And then you have those that didn't necessarily play over the internet, you had streaming inside your house via Steam and Xbox almost about the same time where you could have your PC. And it had to be PC because you had to have Windows. And you link.
You had to have Windows.
Yep. You connect it to your Xbox in the other room. And you just stream the game off of that Xbox to you. And you could play it on your PC, which was super convenient. Had some limitations. It's still... The streaming service is still there if you want to take use of it. Same thing with Steam. Steam came out and said, hey, if you're on your local network, here you go. You can take your $200 laptop into your bedroom, into the other room, away from your gaming PC, and you can stream your games from your gaming PC and play wherever you want.
Right, and I love that model. I think the big you know, kicker with that is it's portable. You have multiple options. You don't have to be constricted to just one play area, say whether it be a media room and you're on a couch, or maybe you've got a desk that you use. This allows, you know, gamers to take a laptop to, let's say, their bedroom and, you know, enjoy the comfort of your bed while you're playing whatever game it is you enjoy, or you want to sit downstairs, or just wherever you're at. I think that just really kind of revolutionized a little bit of the gaming industry within your own personal space. And I know I take advantage of it. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And I do too. I really enjoyed Steam Stream. I used it a lot when I didn't have my Xbox local to my recording room or my, used Xbox, used Steam as well. But then now we're starting to see the emergence of the next generation of game streaming, which is cloud streaming, cloud gaming. And probably right. is better, the term yeah. we need to use here, cloud gaming. And it also go back to what does that mean? What's happening there? Well, it's you're gaming in the cloud. Way to come
literally
coming back to it. It's you're playing like if you were playing a movie on Netflix, but you're providing input to that video. That is breaking it down to the basic level.
Yeah, that's a great description of it. This is not a tangent. This really plays into what we're talking about. But you look at what Netflix did to the movie industry. And when I say movie industry, I mean the brick and mortar movie industry. You know, growing up in the 80s and the 90s, what did you do when you wanted a movie? You
went to Blockbuster.
You went to Blockbuster. You went to the VHS or DVD rental store and you rented a game, you rented a movie, whatever it was. And Netflix revolutionized because we had movies in the cloud. You pay a subscription fee and you've got access to a crap ton of material. And now we're in a place because of the technology and the data that is, you know, just roaming out there, that we are now getting into some cloud gaming where probably going to see pay the subscription. And like you said, input your, you know, I want to play Destiny or whatever PC game it is. We're going to have that access. And it's here. It's not finalized. And it's not, you know, completely set in stone of what these companies are going to be doing. But it is really close.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a, you know, calling out what Netflix did to the movie rental, physical rental industry. And this goes into our opinion later, which we'll get to in more detail. But we're starting to see that comparison happen with gaming. And, you know, talking about cloud gaming and, you know, it's you sit down, you link up to it, and whoever you go with, whoever your service provider or your person that you have your subscription with, you log into it, and then you just pick a game, and it's like you're watching a movie. It's there instantly. You grab your controller, if it's on your mobile, if it's on your TV, if it's on your whatever they put it on, you can then play it wherever you're at. So
yeah, it does not just have to be in your home. This is literally wherever you are in the world, basically.
Depending on
connection.
Yeah, depending on connection and depending on how it grows, how they expand to your mobile device. Your mobile device will be able to play those. And that's wow. That's huge.
Yeah, that's a huge wow moment for the, well, not just the gaming industry, but the tech industry in general.
Absolutely. Getting into that market. I mean, we're talking about where it's at now, but we also need to look at where it's come from.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
we're getting into the future here, but we need to look at, like, who was the first one to reach the market? And there was a couple in there, like we talked about. You know, we talked about Steam, we talked about Xbox, but those were always your local network. That they had to be in your home.
They had to be in your home, yeah.
And you had, coming off really out of nowhere, you had this company called OnLive, which
they were around for about 38 seconds.
In the world we live in, yes, that is very accurate. I mean, they came on, they had a great idea, it's always, there has to be always the first one. And maybe they make it, very small chance, but they start the idea. And on live was that person.
Yeah, they definitely started the idea. What was that, 8 years ago?
Yep, 2012.
About, yeah, 12. So, yeah.
6 years.
6 years. Now, when you say things in the gaming and technology realm of 6 years, 6 years probably doesn't seem like a long time, but when you're talking technology and gaming, you look at the advances that happen to a development company that's working on a game in 6 months, and there is a astronomical difference between when they started and 6 months worth of production time. So 6 years is a ridiculous amount of time in the technology world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they came on the field, they prevented their idea, which was either had a desktop client or this box was almost no bigger than your cell phone your smartphone at the time. So a box you plugged up to your TV, you plugged up to an Ethernet connection, and they presented a variety of not current gen games, not like the most up to date games, but they were fairly recent.
They were fairly recent.
Yeah, they were fairly recent in that world, in that time.
Yeah, they weren't terrible. They did a good job. I think they really did. They just didn't have the backing, and you know, I think they were coming in at a time that just really wasn't ready for that style of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
There was too many other things going on at that point. So there was a lot of other technology out there that was really making headway. And I think the time frame, they didn't time it well. And that's really kind of why I was saying this company only lasted for about 38 seconds.
Yeah.
This company was actually bought out by Sony.
That was their death.
It really was. Sony bought them and said, yeah, deuces.
Yeah. And I mean, that plays, you know, goes right into the, next streaming service is they bought out that team to then enhance mm-hmm. their release, which was PlayStation Now. I mean, the next iteration of streaming wherever you want with whatever device you want, or within the Sony realm in this case.
Within the Sony realm, yeah.
Within the Sony realm.
Not whatever device you want. You know, make sure we get that clear.
Yes, PlayStation, and it still is. They allowed, you know, now it's, you can play PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4 games. You can play them on PC, or you can play them on PlayStation 4. In the beginning, they had multitude of devices that were PlayStation, that were Sony built devices. They allowed it to go there. They've discontinued that now. But it was really cool for those that had a PlayStation and got into that and wanted to be able to play their games wherever they want to. I do not have a PlayStation, so I didn't get into it. But those that got it really enjoyed it, you know. And
yeah, they did.
It didn't require the best of internets. So it required some data that you needed to have. It streamed at 720p, so you know, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, they look great. They look just like you were playing them on their original consoles. You saw a little bit of hindrance when you started streaming PlayStation 4 games, because those were, you know, higher resolution games. They would be able to play better on their console equivalent. So that's where it kind of lacked its luster a little bit, is you couldn't get the 100% experience on all the games.
Yeah. Yeah, it was limited to that side for sure.
Also subscription-based. So, you know, you're paying...
Yes.
You're paying for your PlayStation yearly subscription along with PlayStation Now.
Do you remember how much that was? I'm trying to remember how much that was.
For monthly, I think it was $14.99, and then they have a three-month subscription for like $40.
Yeah, like $30,
yeah,
$40.
Yeah, a little bit of discount if you went for 3 months. So it was kind of expensive on a per-month basis.
Per month, and for the time frame, yes, it was actually kind of pricey.
I mean, it's still around. People still use it. So I don't know the numbers on the current usage or their subscription base. They've never really talked about it. I suspect it's actually pretty low compared to the number of PlayStation users, because of it's limited in certain ways. It doesn't have the full unlock capabilities or kind of matching your experience on a console. And that's where the ultimate goal is, right? So, I mean, that goes into our next person on the list here, NVIDIA, coming in.
Old NVIDIA.
The graphics card maker. Some could say graphics card king. We won't get into that. That's a nice little, you know, fire up a people. But
that's a debate for later on.
But with what they're doing, they came out with their peripheral, which was the Shield line of hardware.
Yeah.
Three different ones they had. Go ahead.
I think it was 2013 that it was originally launched as the beta.
Yep.
And then, now, I never had a Shield, so I was always envious of the people who did because I always wanted one. And, you know, that was like 3 years ago.
Yep.
3 years ago, 4 years ago, it was originally launched. Yeah.
With its full release, yes, that was 3 years ago. And I was right there with you. I saw those people holding those original Shield controller and screen combos that NVIDIA released. And
they looked amazing.
They did.
And NVIDIA did an amazing job with them.
Absolutely. And the whole appeal at that time was not necessarily the game streaming from the cloud, but it was that you could stream any game you want from your computer at home to wherever you were at. They were advertising, hey, you want to go to your friend's house? Bring your controller with you. You can play your entire library from your computer.
On a mobile device.
On basically a mobile device in your hand.
Right.
So that was huge. And that's what got me into it. I have a Shield tablet that I used for that for a while. And even now, still, you know, once you went from the controller, which was streaming at 720p, you could get 1080p on the tablet and now the Shield TV. It's awesome being able to just wherever you go, you know, pick up it and play your library of games that you have on your computer, whether it be Steam, where whatever you have on there, it just streams it.
Yeah.
But along with that,
well, and it streams at 1080.
Oh yeah. And that's what everybody's used to. That's what everybody's experience on a PC is. Or console or whatever your current
console, yeah.
Whatever you're gaming at. So you feel it feels natural. It doesn't feel like you're losing anything. But
now did they ever release a date for when it's supposed to actually come out of beta?
For the actual so that was the grid. What they call the NVIDIA grid, GeForce grid, which had to do with Shield peripheral only. And then they went the beta, which is what we see right now, which is GeForce Now. Yeah. And I did not see an actual release date, but it's kind of in a closed beta right now, or an invite only.
And the reason I ask is because I kind of stopped paying attention to NVIDIA and what they were doing with the Shield. And it's amazing hardware. I loved when they originally came out with it, but then, you know, once something like that comes out and it's got a long kind of beta time because of whatever reasons, I don't know, for me, it's just hard to follow companies like that. There's just so much technology out there right now, and it's hard to just pick one and kind of stick with it and kind of keep up with it. So,
well, yeah, and that's why the grid didn't have a large following behind it, is because you had to buy something separate to utilize it.
Right. I think that was kind of NVIDIA's downfall, is that's not what the customer wants. They don't want all this add-on stuff that you have to buy, and here's these separate pieces that you need. I mean, it's kind of a one-stop shop for a lot of these guys and ladies out there that game.
Absolutely. And that's where the GeForce Now comes in, is that you spin it up on your computer and you launch it, and you can either utilize games that you've linked. You can either link your Uplay account and your Steam account so that it sees you have those games, and then you just pick whatever game you want. Let's say you're in your library, you pick that game, and it instantly boots up. You can play the game. There is no downloading. You can grab a $200 crap top, whatever it may be.
Yeah, literally crap top.
But you would be able to play the game pending, as long as you have good internet connection to it.
Right.
I've saw multiple demos where people are like, they instantly booted up Far Cry 5 on this $200 laptop that has no business even looking at a game as good as that game looked and played. And it played it.
Right.
1080p, 60 frames a second. What in the world?
Which is amazing. It's amazing. Well, and this opens a door for people who can't afford the high-end gaming machines. Maybe this is a new avenue for these companies to really hit a market that loves gaming, but they don't have the checkbook for high-end gear, such as $1,600, $2,500 laptop that would allow them to get into a higher-end gaming market like that for PCs. And you also got people that are mainly console players. They don't play PC. For you and I, we do both worlds. We both got consoles. We've got PC as well. And this really just kind of broadens that horizon. So I am very anxious to see how this kind of opens up the market.
Yes, absolutely. Even though they were able to achieve all this, one limitation is to GeForce now currently is NVIDIA's backbone support of it. Because right. just like any type of multiplayer situation that you're in, if you're playing online, your latency is critical to you. Even more so when you cloud game, because every input of your mouse and keyboard to your controller, to if you're on a mobile, your touchscreen, has to go out to the internet, connect to wherever that data center is at that your machine is being created in, streamed from, and then back to you to respond to. Yeah. And if that, you can only go so fast, and the speed of light is only so fast. So if that data center yeah. is too far from you, there's really nothing you can do. Your latency is not going to be, it's not going to be bad.
Yeah, it's not going to be great. It's not going to be great.
It's not going to be the experience as if you had the console in your living room.
Right. Yeah, you're definitely going to notice a huge difference.
Yeah.
And when I say huge, you know, it's not like you're going to hit the mouse and you're going to wait 5 minutes for that, you know, such action to take place. But you will notice a very noticeable difference. There's going to be a wait time.
Yeah, input lag. Yep. And then that's the one been critical of GeForce Now is those for those that are geographically farther from NVIDIA's data centers. They notice the lag, and there's nothing really you can do about it except for hope and pray that NVIDIA builds a data center close to you.
Right.
And right now, we'll see how they continue and if they can keep up with the two people that we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, which are Google and Microsoft on cloud streaming.
Which they all three have very large checkbooks.
Absolutely.
And bank accounts.
Yes.
And they've all got different models. Not to say that NVIDIA, you know, couldn't or wouldn't come into the gaming realm like Microsoft and Google is now trying. Microsoft definitely has the hand up in that realm, though.
Absolutely.
You know, NVIDIA started as a graphic card company. That's what they specialize in. Google is just taking over the world and owning all the information. And then you have Microsoft. Microsoft is, you know, been in the gaming world for quite some time now, and they've really done a good job at basically feeding into what the customers want. And yeah, I think, you know, there's bitter people out there, and you know, you got the whole war between Microsoft and you got PlayStation out there and PC, you got all that nonsense. So yeah, I'm really, really anxious to kind of watch what happens with NVIDIA. And back to your whole latency point, do we know how many data centers NVIDIA has? I'm curious. That's one thing I forgot to look up.
My last count was 6, and that's worldwide. So,
That's not just U.S.
Mm-hmm. That's worldwide. And so that is also the concern is depending on where, you know, if you're a U.S. player, then you may only have access to 3. I'm going to say there's most are in the U.S., 3 or 4 data centers, and hoping that's ones near you when you go and connect and use GeForce Now, which will play right into your latency. And depending on the game, you won't notice a difference. It will not bother right. you. But when you're in those high intensive racing games being number one, RPG, you're talking like Witcher and you're talking like Assassin's mm-hmm. Creed, you need those response times to be there for you to succeed in those games, for you to really yeah. enjoy those games. And if you don't have it, well,
you might as well not even play it.
Right. Just go ahead and hop back on your console. So, because it's yeah. still a superior experience. And all throughout this, the console in your home will always be the immediate experience, because especially playing those single player games that don't rely on like a multiplayer connection, like Destiny, Fortnite, any of those that require that and are talking to a server out on the interwebs, you're going to have instant reaction time on those single player games because it's processing right there, feet in front of you.
Yeah.
So
instantly.
But I mean, talking about going into our two people that we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, Google Stream, like Project Stream, the test right now is you get to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey in a Chrome.
Looks amazing, by the way.
Looks amazing. Absolutely heard great things about it. You get to play it in Chrome browser.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which, mind-boggling. Now, I don't know. I still can't wrap my head around getting on this device, laptop, computer, whatever device it is, and you play a game inside Chrome. It does not compute with my brain right now.
Well, I think when I play games in browser, I think of either those Java games that you could load on a website where it was like stick figures, you fight with each other, anything like that.
Yeah, stick battles.
Yeah, stick battles.
That's a perfect example.
Stick battles. You know, you play those or any of those Flash games. There was a go. That is the word I was looking for. Flash games that they had on the interwebs, and you go to their website, you play them. Or RuneScape. RuneScape was one. It was built and you played it through the browser. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking that I'm going to play a AAA game that is just released weeks ago at 1080p, 60 frames a second through my browser.
Yeah. On whatever laptop or device you might have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
If it can play Chrome and it can stream Netflix at high quality with no lag, you could play this game.
You can play this game.
Yes.
Yeah. That's bonkers.
It's the reports of it have been fantastic. People have said it's been great. I've experienced no lag whatsoever in, you know, it feels like I'm just playing right there, which attests to how Google has deployed this, which we assume is multiple aspects across the US, wherever you're connecting to. I mean, right now it is a invite only beta.
Yeah.
It's a technical test. So they're one game, and that's it. You get to play that if you get an invite.
If you get an invite, and that's the key word, if. And Google has a little bigger server farm than NVIDIA, so I'm pretty sure people are going to have a easier time connecting to that one.
Yeah, but it gives great promise to what will happen when they do deploy. Because that is huge to not require anything else. We don't even know if it'll be a subscription service. We assume it will be because there's no way Google's not going to make bank on this.
Oh, yeah. You know they're going to make money.
Yeah. But so far, technical test reviews across the board have been fantastic. Now, out of all the streaming that we've mentioned so far, it is probably the most bandwidth heavy of the streaming services, but it's also the best looking and best performing. The recommended, and this is on their webpage, if you get an invite and have to go and want to go play it, they recommend at least a 25 megabit per second internet speed.
Yeah. Which, you know, compared to the plans that are out there for a lot of the providers, it's not a lot, but that's still pretty extensive for you know, a browser playing a game like this inside Chrome.
Absolutely. And I mean,
it's hard for me to say play a game inside Chrome, especially when you're talking about Assassin's Creed. Those words don't compute in my head yet.
Well, and that's what some people were saying. It was so nice to be able to just have your browser up like one screen. He would be looking at an article or something and you just pop right back over. Oh, I'm back in Assassin's Creed now. I'm playing, you know, going at it. So just wow. Just that this is good on Google for coming right off the bat. They announced this project. It's a technical test, but it performing so well. The only thing that this doesn't test, unfortunately, is capacity and ability to, you know, handle everybody when they get to be able to sign up for it.
Yeah. Again, one game, limited bandwidth on users, So you've got a portion of a user farm out there right now. And we've seen plenty of times in past where AAA games come out. Yep, we're ready. We've done our beta tests. Everybody's set and ready to go. They launch the game. First day in, server's down. Too many people logged in. So, curious to find out what happens here.
Absolutely. And we'll see more of those type of server outages. You know, we get into this world of cloud streaming. What does that look like? You know, maybe the user never sees it. You know, a server outage happens, but, well, you just connect to the other data center. No big deal. You know, because they have so many. Or with Google's aspect, and even talking more so about Microsoft's aspect, the next person on our list with Project xCloud.
xCloud.
Out of everybody we've talked about so far, talking about Microsoft, they're in the best position to come out the gate right now and say, hey, we're doing cloud gaming.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Microsoft, again, going back to my previous statement of Microsoft's been in this realm for a long time, and I think they've kind of got the head start in a lot of the technology realm here. So with their latency concerns and things that could potentially be out there, I think Microsoft has probably got a head start in all of that already. I'm sure those are some of the top issues that they're looking at. And again, go back to Microsoft has a massive server farm. So,
yeah, I mean, with their cloud storage that they've rolled out to, you know, enterprise companies, they're using those exact same locations, which there's, I don't know how many, 64 locations across the world, which is huge.
Yeah, that's massive.
Massive compared to anybody else in the market right now. Because they've already got the infrastructure in place, they're just going to the same building and putting in these new servers, which, talking about the servers, they're basically going to be Xbox consoles inside those. They're not going to be some custom-built thing or some just a row of graphics cards side-by-side and a row of CPUs side-by-side to process it. No, Microsoft outright said that we're basically taking, you know, 5 or 6 guts of Xbox Ones, putting them inside the chassis of a server and sliding them in, and you're gonna have row upon row of those.
An amazing idea. Why reinvent the wheel when what you've already invented is top of the market?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, literally. I mean, I'm not trying to get into a debate between PlayStation, Xbox, PC, all that. I'm just saying Xbox and their gear that they have put inside the Xbox One X, it's top of the line. I mean, they've put some amazing hardware in there. And I think it's smart that Microsoft goes, why would we reinvent the wheel? Why would we try to create another separate piece? Look at the maintenance costs. Look at the overhead they're going to have if they went that route versus we're already producing these Xbox One X's and Xbox Ones. We've already got the materials. We've already got the designs. I think it's a smart move. I really do.
Oh, 100% agree. But that is a good note that you brought up the X's. I do wonder if we'll be playing with Xbox One X's, which are fundamentally more powerful than the original ones, of the original Xbox Ones. It makes sense for them to do so that the user gets the best experience. But Xbox did not call that out directly. They just said they're going to put Xbox Ones in there. So that'll be really interesting to see, because referencing back to NVIDIA, when you play on their GeForce Now and you boot up a game, it tells you what graphics card you're currently attached to in their data center.
Well, that's cool.
And inside there, people have shown video of this. You're playing on a $6,000 graphics card inside their data center, which are data center quality graphics cards. They're completely different in a consumer grade that you buy and put in your gaming tower. But the hardware to be able to do that, I mean, they're just, hey, best one. Here you go. Go play on it. Have fun.
Yeah, have fun. Yeah, literally have fun.
So my hope is that, yes, they would put a whole bunch of Xbox One X in there. But I see that them going with original ones. This is just my opinion. I see them going with original ones and leaving the X as their, hey, you can get a great experience if you want to buy a physical piece of hardware and put it in your house. The Xbox One, the Xbox One itself would slowly be discontinued as a physical device in lieu of their streaming service. I see that coming.
Yeah, definitely. That's coming. It may not be in the next few, 2-3 years, but definitely coming. I don't think the Xbox One is outdated just yet, no. But the way technology is coming around the corner, they're making some huge advancements. It won't be long before the Xbox One, us gamers are going to be looking at it going, dang, this seems like an Xbox 360 used to.
I mean, it's coming. I mean, even during their E3 conference, Xbox referenced this exact project that we're talking about. And in their talking about their next, we say next generation, which generations aren't the same terminology they used to be. They're making another console, but it's not necessarily, they're going to make two of them. They're going to make one that's going to be the physical and in-house, and they're going to be one that's going to be, and they called it, outright, streaming box. A streaming box.
Literally, they called it a streaming box.
They did.
Yes.
Which, I mean, they were giving hints. They were giving breadcrumbs to exactly what they announced with Project X Cloud.
Yeah. Out of all of the items discussed, Project X Cloud and the Google Project Stream are my two favorite for sure.
Yeah.
Out of all the front runners out there trying to do something with streaming technology from the cloud.
Well, and it's also they're the latecomers to the game, but they've also been watching all the competition and learning from them. So you had you had OnLive came in, they were the baby, they were the first ones to break through. Great idea. They just didn't have it all together. NVIDIA and PlayStation Now came in. They almost have it. Almost have it. They have little caveats different from each one, but they're still there. They're still there. And then you have Google and Microsoft come in, which so far looks like a complete package for what people want.
Right. And I think there's something to be said on both sides. I think smart on their end, sitting back, watching the other players. I think you learn from both sides. And then you've got the players who are actually in the game. And I think you're always going to learn from your, past and present failures. You learn what not to do. But the people that aren't in the game aren't learning those failures yet on a personal level. So those companies haven't seen any of their own because they haven't been in it yet. They're just basing those failures off of what they've seen other companies do that maybe didn't work. And then trying to react off of those. So definitely pluses and minuses on both sides there.
Yeah. Yeah. And xCloud hasn't been done, hasn't even been beta tested yet or tested that. I think they're talking about that like early 2019, I think was the date they're going to start releasing a beta test or start testing their services. And who knows what Google's going to do, because this is not even a beta test. This is a technical test. So they may come back and just full release it and it's done. Or they may come back and give it a little bit, start with the beta, and start showing some of the different other qualities that they have with the streaming service and what takes place with it. I mean, talking about all this, what does this mean for us gamers? What all these different streaming services, where we're at now with the recent announcement, what does that mean for us?
Well, it widens the highway lane for sure. And it definitely opens up the options. For so many years, we were really limited to just three things. You had, and not even really three things. I mean, we had consoles and we had PCs. And just over the last few years, we had mobile gaming on your phone or tablet. So really, we didn't have a lot of options out there. And I think this really just widens the highway and allows a little more variety for the gamers that want to experience different things and not just a console or not just a PC. So it gives them those options if they want it.
Absolutely. And it's just, right now we have this kind of standard we go to. If you want a game, you have your console or you have your PC and you go to those wherever they're at and that's where you play your media. You download your media to it, whether it's from a digital game that you've downloaded or a physical disc, and you're able to play those up. But we've have to change our understanding of gaming when it gets to this, because myself, I mentally resistant to this, not because it's not cool, not because it's going to be, you know, it's really going to be nice to be on the go. It's going to be different, so radically different to how we game today. Whereas,
yeah,
I don't need to sit down. I don't need to go to a specific spot in my house to game anymore. Yeah. I can be outside lounging and put up my phone
playing a
AAA game with millions of other people. Huge.
For both of us grew up in pretty close to the golden era of video games. I'm a little older than you, and I'm resistant to that because I still enjoy the console. I still enjoy the like, let's sit down and actually pop a disc in. Let's, you know, download something. That's going to be a huge change, like you said, for me, especially with the era that I grew up in for video games. But the technology, I love the technology. Tons of questions are always going to be behind that technology. Are you going to be able to handle the user base? Are you going to be able to fix the latency issues? Are you going to be able to make this an experience that is fun, that is not buggy as crap, and, you know, just becomes so frustrating that you just want to go back to your regular gaming anyways because it works?
Right.
So, yeah, there's probably going to be a ton of resistance out there, but there's also going to be a ton of people that didn't grow up in the golden era of gaming. They didn't know what it was to have a Nintendo cartridge and, you know, to fix it, you blew on it, and then you stuck it in the game system.
Right.
There's a ton of people out there that didn't grow up in that era. They've got their Xboxes, and they've got their, you know, hey, I've got this huge game library. I sat down with it, and I can stream it to my PC. And there's a massive market of people out there that grew up in that style of gaming area. And this, like we talked about, is really the next step of merging what technology is out there and this mass market of gamers that want something. And I think it's really smart for the gaming companies. They're doing something that is disruptive technology. And again, anytime you look at a technology company, whether it's for gaming or it's graphics cards or TVs, whatever it is, those companies were successful in the times that they made disruptive technology in the market.
Yeah, 100% agree. And that, you know, with being disruptive in the network and what it's going to look like in the future, what is gaming going to look like in the future?
Oh boy.
Yeah, we could speculate all day. It depends on how quick this takes on, depending on the mentality of the user base that adopts it, how it changes. But yeah, this is going to be, if this catches on, it will be the death of physical media for gaming.
I go back to my point earlier, Netflix and Blockbuster.
Yeah.
And we are seeing the rise of this. This is going to be the new age of gaming, and we're going to see what happened to Blockbuster happen to physical hardware and consoles and gaming discs. That is coming. It really is.
Yeah, and we're gonna see the end of that. We've already started seeing a little bit of it with everybody transitioning to digital media. Steam basically killed off the used game PC game market as a whole for all those.
That's almost, yeah,
all of them. Yeah, any of those, Blizzard.net, any of those virtual where you just get the game, you download it to your PC, and you play it. Killed off that. We're starting to see more and more adoption digitally with the console market, and this is going to just dial up that adoption to a 11.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you have to. I mean, whether the company, whoever produces it, releases that, you can go buy the game and have it at all time, which I see Microsoft doing it, just like they do with some of their games. You buy it now and you can have it for all time. You never physically own it, but
right,
you can always access it whenever you want to. Or you sign up for their subscription service, which I could see them tying into their, you know, subscription service that they have right now. Sign up for it and you get, you know, access to their hardware or however you want to do it. Maybe it's you sign up for the service, which is streaming. That's always subscription. And then you can either pay a little bit more to, you know, play a game for, you know, a week, a month, however it may be, however long you want to play the game. Or you just buy the game outright.
Yeah, I definitely think there's going to be kind of a package level in there. Like you said, I think it would be smart if they did that. Again, widening that highway mm-hmm. and allowing gamers more options, I think is just smarter for the companies because, you know, we're not getting any smaller. Technology is not mm-hmm. going away anytime soon. And it's just a continual perpetual motion going on here. So, yeah, I think it would definitely be smart for them to kind of offer those different packages.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, we'll see. We'll give it yeah. a year, 2 years' time once these companies can, like recently announced Google, Microsoft, can get their betas done, get their technical test done, push for a full release of it, and see where it goes, how it takes off. If, referencing the xCloud, they said you could play on a mobile device, you could play it on console, you could play it on PC. Introducing yeah. the mobile device, if that pulls off and works well, will pull xCloud ahead of the rest by a long shot. In holding the market.
We just won the race if they get that.
Yeah, absolutely. If the others do not catch up to that or are able to utilize the mobile market like xCloud has announced they will, we don't know how it'll pull off. We've seen some tech demos that it does well, but nothing actual concrete yet, you know, reviews and actual people seeing on their mobile devices. But if it can be pulled off, it will be huge and game-changing. You will no longer have to deal with consoles. You'll no longer have to deal with gaming PCs. They will be there for the high-end ultimate 4K 144 frames per second experience. But you'll see.
Yeah, but that's a rare, rare elite percentage of people that could even afford that.
In comparison to the gaming, the number of users out there, that actual game, absolutely. Absolutely. But big number out there that really don't care about having the 4K 144 frames per second, they just want to play their game, they're going to grab their smartphone, they're going to load up xCloud, and they're going to play their game.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's going to be exciting over the next couple of years. Lots of new tech coming out, and I'm really anxious to see what happens with the whole cloud-based gaming. It's going to be exciting.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, we hope you all have enjoyed the episode. We just want to thank you guys for joining in this evening and hanging out with us. And we just really appreciate your guys' support. You love our content. You like it. And it means the world to us. We hope you guys continue to join in with us. We are doing a few new things, and we're going to bring some new stuff to you. We're going to keep the ball rolling, as it would say. So we just really appreciate you guys. You guys rock.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for listening. If you did enjoy this episode, be sure to stop by and check out our website, allthingsgeekery.com. And hey, if you want to chat, we're always available. We're out on watching the Twitterverse, so you can find us there on Twitter, on YouTube. There's a host of other social medias that we have. All those links will be in the description below.
Yeah, and if you guys have any specific topics you would like us to chat about or look at in a future episode, you guys can email those to us at podcastatg@gmail.com. And guys, that wraps up this episode. So as always, you guys stay awesome, and we'll see you in the next episode.